And I think we all have to get better at sharing our stories across all our different networks and, you know, making sure that those stories from the remote communities do get out, all the good news stories, because there's a lot of negative stories that are out there. But when you're in community, you realise how many positive stories are going on. It's just amazing. You know, we're in the community where there's a Miss World contestant. We have the Yothu Yindi and East Journey and Easy Five and a whole lot of other fantastic bands playing. In fact, we've got 21 acts, mostly from this region, performing throughout the week. A fantastic football carnival was held here on the weekend with communities from all across the Top End, and then all this amazing media that's being produced that, you know, a lot of people don't get to see. So, yeah, we do have to get better at getting that out to the broader public and telling the fantastic stories that are going on in our remote communities.
It's interesting because the way that the technology is now, you can pick up a smartphone, you know, you can record a story, you can edit, and then you can send it off. So you can just file a story from, you know, anywhere in Australia.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's exactly the way the remote sector is going. In fact, we just had PY Media from the APY lands demonstrating a smartphone plugged into a codec so they could be doing a live story over their network from a football game or a meeting or an outside broadcast from anywhere in the region over the Wi-Fi or a mobile network back to the hub, and getting those stories out as they happen. And the TIBA outside broadcast van that's set up is just running over the mobile network and going live across Australia. So it's absolutely the case now that, you know, all of the technologies are making it much easier to be sharing our stories and sharing that content over a whole range of platforms.
It's interesting because in the city there is opportunity for media makers, you know, and journalists to present content. I mean, you can always make something, you can always have it broadcast in a community radio capacity, in your local community, but, you know, also in the cities as well and right across Australia. So what's the demographic like? Have you got young kids coming in that are media makers? Do you have elders that are also making news and current affairs? Like, who's out there? You know, what are they doing and what's the pathways for the communities?
Yeah, it's really diverse. We've got older people telling stories about, you know, the culture, the oral histories from their communities to teach young people. We've got the young people who are using the new technologies in really innovative ways to get their stories out, to get, you know, music and little videos made and getting those out over Facebook or over YouTube, as well as over their community networks. We've got, you know, the media organisations are, you know, broadcasting on radio. They're using Indigenous community television to share their footage. They've all got online platforms. They're all streaming. And there are broadcasters throughout all age ranges, male and female, in communities right across Australia. And I guess, it is a bit of an under-promoted story of how successful that is and how important that is for those communities to hear their local stories, their local news in their language, and to make sure that the stories that are relevant to them and the information that's relevant to them is available back over their local network.
So I want to talk to you a bit about IRCA and I guess where remote media is placed within our media landscape. So can you share a bit about IRCA, please?
Yeah, so IRCA was established in 2001 as a peak body for the remote Indigenous media sector. This grew out of what is called the Broadcasting for Remote Aboriginal Communities Scheme, where, you know, about 120 communities across Australia, represented by 8 remote Indigenous media organisations, really needed their own voice, their own way of being able to work together and support their interests to grow and network and basically learn together, grow the industry up together. So IRCA was established as a peak body way back then, and 15 years later, we've actually been asked by the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet to expand our representation to take on the role of being the national peak body. Now, that's a big change. It's really expanding out from what we have done in the past. But the remote sector feel very strongly that they've set a good model of how to work together and really share the learnings that they have among one another and help each other to grow up. they want to expand and support the regional and urban sector and build that out from the work that they've done. So IRCA has actually gone through a big change this week. We've just put in place a new constitution in order that we can take on organisational membership, and the regional and urban organisations can now become members of IRCA and be supported and represented by IRCA. At some point in the future, we'll probably have a name change, but this is the first step of an expansion to being a national peak body.
Okay, and so that's been since ACA was defunded by the Department of Indigenous Affairs, so now IRCA has been basically given the role to look after all the divisions right across Australia.
Yeah, that's correct. IRCA was asked to expand its representation and take on a bigger role, which, you know, has been a big decision for the sector as to whether that was the right way to go. But at the end of the day, we wanted to make sure that we could support everybody to grow up together and not have divisions or have, you know, organisations left behind. So that's the pathway we're now on, and we're really keen to start talking with a lot of the other organisations about how they want to be represented, what their needs are, and how IRCA can play a role to support them in the future.
So can the remote sector keep control of the organisation if they're not the majority of the members?
I don't think it's about them trying to keep control now. I think it's about just working together, and they really want to support their kin in other regions to be able to come in and be part of the work that we do. And you know, it'll take time for IRCA to expand its representation, but we're on that journey of making sure that we do that. But really, we need to listen to what the needs are and make sure that we can build our capacity to be able to support all of the organisations as we move forward.
I just want to ask you a couple more questions about the nuts and bolts of that. Who will IRCA represent? I mean, is NITV or Living Black Radio eligible for membership?
So we have different categories of membership, and there's an ordinary membership, which is for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations that are not-for-profit. Mm. Other organisations that do some media but not dedicated to that can be associate members, and individuals can be associate members, and then we can have affiliate membership for other organisations that aren't necessarily managed by Indigenous boards but are certainly partner organisations. So at this stage, NITV under the SBS board would be an affiliate partner, but we're very keen to be able to work out a model moving forward where they could be a full member of IRCA, and we can absolutely represent the screen industry and NITV and Living Black in that same way.
Takes it to another level as far as media, and for people out there to be able to really tap into what's available. So if people want to learn more about remote media makers and more about their content with your organisation, is there a way that people can access the content?
Yeah, so if you go onto the IRCA website, you'll see a lot about who the organisations are that we represent. There's profiles of those organisations. Moving forward, obviously, we'll have more of the regional and urban organisations coming on as members, and we'll be able to start profiling those organisations and the people that work there. And if you go onto the IndigiTube website, you'll hear the radio services that are broadcast from each of the remos. There's 8 remos across Australia, from the Torres Strait through Queensland, Top End, Karma in the centre, PAW Media, Ngandara Media, PY Media, Pilbara Kimberley Aboriginal Media. All of those organisations are streaming their services, and you can tune in and listen to those live on the IndigiTube.com.au website.